Hello and welcome to episode number of the Punk News Podcast. Tonight, it's the two-pronged editor attack with M. Moore and Sam Barrett.
Hi! we are missing John once again. I don't know what he's up to. I think, M, did we lock him in some room somewhere?
Oh, shoot. We better make sure he has food and water. We gotta check on him. He has so much editing. He's so behind.
Yeah.
Christmas specials.
Yeah, I think he's actually working on last year's Christmas special that never came out. I don't know. We'll see what happens. John's doing John things.
But until he's back, we're keeping the hovercraft afloat. And we're going to play some songs for you tonight. But first of all, Sam, how are you doing? How are things?
I am alive. It is getting weird out here in Brooklyn. I'm starting to see pollen. Pollen is not good. everyone around me is sneezing. Yes, it's horrible.
But oh no.
Say, we are in March, and it seems like there's tons of new music coming out at the end of this month. I don't know why. by the time it airs, we're probably gonna have like 10 million things to listen to, which I'm actually happy that 2023. Yeah, that's what we're at. I also forget my age all the time. I should just say I'm 18 all over again.
you just play What's My Age Again?
Yeah.
Blink-182, that's it. Yeah. That's your response to that,
yeah,
that question.
I should just have it, like, on cue at all times and just be like, here, this is, I don't know, here. I'm well enough, I think. I'm not sneezing that much yet.
That's a bonus. Yeah. Yeah, we will kick pollen's ass this year somehow. Yeah. Masks kind of help, you know, block the sinuses.
The allergy.
Sort of.
Yeah.
But anyway, it finds a way.
It will totally find a way into your face and lungs and all that good stuff. So, you know, let's just say medication is keeping me alive.
Three cheers for medication.
Yay! Woo! But yeah, how are you, Em? You look alive and well.
Thank you. Yes, I hope so. Do you ever have that, like, did you ever, or there's dreams where it's, you don't realize that you're, like, dead until, like, someone tells you or whatever? Have you ever had those types of dreams?
No, I have never had a dead dream. I've only had really haunting dreams of, like, things chasing me.
Ooh, those are bad.
Yeah. Apparently, I have a bad aura or something. I don't know. We'll just get, like, you know, my aura checked and colorized, and we'll see what is haunting my life. But
and then, like, cut it out.
Yeah, so you're dead now.
And then it's just like, no. No, things are doing well. Everything's good. Finished up two interviews, so that's exciting.
Yay!
Woo! Jell and Hears. And Hears is one of the most one of the interviews that I'm the most proud of, because it was like over like almost 2 hours, and was able to get it like just perfect. So it like flowed. So I'm really proud of that. And yeah, your punk cellist interview was really cool too. Like that was super neat.
Yeah, I don't know how things happen in punk news with me. Things just like come to me sometimes. So between that one and the Punk Rock Museum, I think I'm actually starting this year pretty strong, since I did absolutely nothing last year because I was stuck at real life. But yeah, no, like I'm actually really happy with both of those interviews. like the punk museum one merged my two loves, punk rock and museum stuff and art together, or artifacts, whatever, I don't know, together. So I was like really, really, really stoked about that one. And, you know, just getting the word out there that there's something cool happening in Las Vegas, if it opens, it will definitely open. So we'll see. And then the Punk Cellist one, I really, really dig what Ian is doing, with that, because it's not every day you get a performance of classical cello in your life. And the fact that he is literally taking these songs that are near and dear to some of our lives, and creating them into such great, like, composed pieces that, again, like, you could kind of sit in an orchestra, like, watch an orchestra do, right? It's kind of damn cool, and I'm really, really happy about that. So we'll see how many other things will fly by my desk and your desk at the Hovercraft office, because we do have desks next to each other.
Can confirm.
Yes, exactly. Next to the water cooler, so we get all of the gossip, apparently. Mainly John's gossip, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, we hear all the happenings at the record conventions and Ed updates.
Exactly. Yes.
All of that.
Yes, and aliens. Yes.
Oh, my God. All of the abduction stories. It's getting ridiculous at this point.
It is really, really bad. I really fear for John's life.
He needs to have, like, some, like, alien protection. Like, it's, like, off, right? For, like, bugs. But you just, like, spray it.
No, we just need to put him in a bubble. A plastic bubble.
Like a big hamster, like, bubble.
Yes, he needs a hamster wheel or something. I don't know. Yes. But, yeah.
I could see it. Yep. I could see it.
Yep.
This is the future of punk news.
We're all going to be in bubbles, you guys.
This fear is for our lives.
Yeah,
fear.
But yeah, so we're here.
We're here.
We're going to talk about some stuff and play some stuff for you. I think I'm just going to start. You okay
with
that?
Definitely. Totally. Yeah.
So I'm going to play something that is kind of old, but kind of new, but it's very, very confusing, and I'm just going to talk about it for a little bit, so bear with me, please. So Thrice, you know that band, they are actually touring and celebrating a freaking album that is near and dear to my heart, Artists in the Ambulance. So I'm going to play Blood Clots and Black Holes out of their revisited album. And we're back. So I just played a revisited song by Thrice. So Thrice has a very, like, special place in my heart, because literally this album, the original album, came out when I was in high school. Yes, I know, a million years ago, right? So there's, like, a lot of nostalgia to it, and I was super excited that they were going to literally tour on an album, because I'm all about, like, reunion, well, not reunions, but, you know, tours on albums that, anniversary tours and stuff like that. So basically, when they also announced that they redid the entire album, I was like super intrigued by it. And I listened to it and I was like, huh, this is weird at first. Because it is different. Then upon reading why they did it and all that, like, you know, the fact that they wanted to revisit an album, make it different for what they would actually normally sound like, I'm like, actually, this actually makes sense, because I am going to their tour when they roll by New York, because why not? And, you know, I'm going to assume that this album is going to sound more like how they would play it now. And I did hear from some of my friends that they hated it.
Oh, no. Why?
Yeah. I think it was just really different. I think, like, you know, sure. The album hits us, especially people that listened to Thrice when they were, like, you know, 15 or whatever.
yeah.
Like, you know, it hits us with that nostalgia thing. So, definitely. You know, hearing it as a different way. Kind, and especially hearing it how they did it now, I think upset some people, only because I think that they re-recorded it with time, clearly, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like an anniversary. And okay. Two, the band itself progressed as a band, and their sound did change a little bit. So I think this new revisited album did capture that change in, I guess, merging of what they used to be and what they kind of are now, which I do appreciate. Sure. So it's kind of like, you know, to me, hopefully I won't be surprised seeing them live, because I've heard it a million times. Actually, every day I've been listening to this damn album, you know, and celebrating it. I also do love the fact that this one track, so Blood Clots and Black Holes, featured Chuck Reagan, which is, you know, one of my favorite things, hot word music, because I really do think that his, like, vocals really enhance the gruffness of this song and how, you know, how it's recorded now. I'm super thrilled about it now, after being really confused by it the first time around. Yes, I'm gonna own up to that. So, like, Em, what do you think about, like, revisiting albums, like, after a million years?
I think it's a really cool idea, because it's, yeah, like, the original album's obviously, like, a snapshot of, like, space and time and where they were in their headspaces and all that business, and it means so much to, like, you know, like, exactly, like, when you find something, like, during high school or during, like, formative years, you, like, latch onto it, and that becomes, like, everything, right? Like,
yep.
Absolutely everything. And it, like, it can be really jarring to hear, like, a difference, like, even if, like, you hear a band playing a song from, like, an album that meant a lot to you when you were younger live, and it's not, like, you know, beat for beat, word for word, you're like, what's going on here? This isn't right, you know? So I think it's really cool, because when you revisit something and re-release it as you are now, you're obviously changing it. You're approaching it with a more, like, I guess, mature headspace, mature, like, instrumentation too, because you're more, you've been playing for longer, you can put in different, like, fills and different riffs and have a whole different
vibe.
Like, yeah. Yeah, and have more, like, depth and stuff. Like, I think it's really cool. I'm trying to think of another band that's really that have a revisited album that I've checked out, but I can't right now. I did check out, like, this song, and I thought it was really, really good. I do like the original album, but I need to, and I didn't really give the revisited one a chance, which I don't, like, I mean, I wanted to, and then it just, like, forgot about it, I guess.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, it's kind of funny, because, like, you know, sometimes bands, when they play things live, they'll play, like, their old stuff, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes they will, like, let's just say, change it up. And then sometimes, like, you know, I'm like, actually, that's actually damn good, but it's never recorded. So it's like, I can never hear it unless I see them again, and hopefully they play it again, like, that same way. Yeah. So it's actually kind of nice, like, at least for me, like, to have the option of, do I want to listen to the OG, or do I want to listen to this revisited one? Like, you know, lately I've been hanging out with the revisited one a little more than the OG, but I did take the OG for a spin recently on my turntable. And I was like, you know, I was like, there is, like, one, a clear sound quality with the revisited one. I just think it's, like, a little darker or like a little louder maybe, and then there's a clear vocal difference just, you know, in the recording of the vocals that I'm like, you know what, this is, I was like, yeah, this is clearly like, you know, what they want to sound like, what they want these things to sound like now.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well,
is there an album that you want to see, like the band revisit in the future, or a band revisit in the future?
Oh my God. Off at the top of my head, you know what? Like, it's, I kind of want bands, like, now, like, I don't remember a specific band right now, but I do know that there are a couple albums that, you know, like, I'll listen on vinyl, and I'll just be like, God, this was recorded horribly. Like, it just sounds like crap. And then I'll, like, listen to it on Spotify or something on streaming services, and I'm like, God, it still sounds as bad. Like, you know, and it's not the songs, because I'll see the band live and I'm like, the songs are great, but you know, like, there are like certain records that I'm like, maybe needs a remastering, or maybe even needs a revisiting, you know. I do kind of appreciate, like, I know this is like off topic, but like when certain bands get like compilations made from other bands that, like, you know, this band was influencing them, because it's,
oh yeah,
that's kind of like an easy way to, I guess, revisit a song, but through a different band, right?
Yeah, that's what makes covers so cool.
Exactly. Like, you know, they put their own little spin to it. Like, you know, they make it sound like their own and unique. So I do like that. And then I do also like when, like, a band, like, sometimes, like, you know, sticks with the script and just like records it like the way that it would sound. Which I think we like discussed in a prior a punk news podcast, because, you know, sometimes, like, you know, if a band is well broken up and you're never going to see live, sometimes you could go see a cover band do it just as good, you know. It gets those same nostalgic feels. I think I'm just old and I'm just looking for nostalgia, so that's might be a thing that, like, is happening.
Updated nostalgia, like modern nostalgia.
Yeah.
Kind of. Are there any band or any like albums or anything that you're like, no, like, you can never revisit this? Like, just because the original is like top tier.
Well,
is that unfair to ask?
I think that is very unfair to ask, because I have a lot of favorite things that I would just rather them not fuck with or mess with. Yeah. Well, Em, why don't you play a song?
Yeah, okay. So the first song I'm going to play is called Staring Problem, and it's by Jetsam. So I'll play the song and then talk about it after. So, all right. So Jetsam, they are a power violence band out of Montreal. And I was introduced to them by not introduced to them personally, but introduced to them as a band by Carolina of Boring Girls. Boring Girls are sadly no longer a thing. They were a really great Montreal hardcore band. So anyway, I went home, I checked out their EP. Jetsam only has one EP right now, and it's called Power Violence is for Lovers. And it absolutely, like, it rips. Like, it is so good, because, you know, when you listen to music and it's just visceral, like, you can hear, like, the way that the lyrics are being delivered and everything, and you can hear how much, like, emotion is being put into it, and it's very visual because of that, because you're getting that emotion, and you're also see, like, it adds more to the lyrics as well. So, like, Staring Problem is one of my favorite songs off of the EP. Obviously, all of the songs are great, but it's one of my favorite because it's so angry and it's so furious and it's so like, yeah, you know, oh, do you have a staring problem? Like, do you want to go?
It's literally in the title.
Exactly. Yeah, it's good for letting off steam in a safe and productive manner, too. And, like, that's what the whole EP is. Like, it's great, and it's power violence that is with a purpose. Like, they're anarchists, they're anti-fascists, they're talking about queer issues, they're talking about, like, religious oppression and stuff. Like, it just runs the gamut of, like, stuff you might not typically associate with power violence, which I absolutely love, because it's like, yeah, take something and just fill it with new stuff and talk about things people are going to listen to you, and it's great. So yeah, Sam, do you like any power violence?
Actually, out of the three, this one I actually did not hate. Sorry, M.
Oh, it's fine.
But I did like the fact that, like, you know, one, they are literally tackling an issue because my dog has a staring problem. I know he has a staring problem because he stares at me all the time. But yeah, staring is an issue. Yeah, like they're literally, like, if you read the lyrics, and I will not go into the lyrics or say it because there's a lot of words in this for a 2-minute song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, it is so direct. It is so to the point, like, you know, about literally, I guess someone staring at someone really too hard and being really mad about it. It's so direct. You know, I also think that is a very, like, New York thing to be very direct. So this makes sense to me. Right. The music actually wasn't, like, it wasn't my thing, but I didn't hate it only because it was actually, like, quite catchy. Like, you know.
Yeah, it's surprising.
Exactly. Like, it worked with everything. Like, the lyrics being angry, the music being angry, it was quite catchy, and I'm like, yeah, don't hate this. Cool.
There's a couple songs on the EP too where, like, they kind of do like slower sections. There's one that has like a spoken word piece within it. There's kind of like an almost orchestral but not quite like vibe to one of them, which is really cool because it starts like that and goes into something a bit heavier, kind of like what Vile Creature does with like Glory Glory before Apathy took the helm. Or yeah, so they're such a cool band and I'm looking forward to more from them. Like, Montreal has so many just like absolutely killer punk bands right now. It's ridiculous, like the wealth of talent. Like, if you want hardcore punk, they have insane hardcore punk. You want like metal, it's right there. And if you want like skate punk or pop punk or like more artsy stuff, like it's phenomenal.
All there.
Yeah.
I've been telling you, Em, you need to go to Montreal. Montreal is, like, one of my favorite places. I wonder if you might show up this summer.
I might teleport in and, you know, maybe see some shows.
Yeah, you just take the hovercraft. It'll be great.
Yes. I'm brushing up on my French, so, like, I'm appeasing the Duolingo owl. It hasn't come for me yet, so...
Oh, Duolingo. Thank you for being free.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wee wee. Baguette. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, yes. All of the baguettes.
That's my goal. Yeah, Sam, kick her off with another track.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm still on this like weird nostalgia kick because I'm freaking old. this band's not too old, but they are super damn cool. No pressure. They're kind of like a pop punk band. Yeah, I guess. they might have members, maybe a super group of some sorts. I'm not even sure if it is or not. But anyways, so they released their self-titled album last year, 2022. So I'm going to play Both Sides. Okay, we're, I guess, back. Yeah. You know what? We have to get better at this, like, transitioning thing. Or maybe John just needs to train us better. Yeah, I'm just going to blame John. Anyways. So we just played a track by No Pressure. And I'm kind of really digging this right now. They seem really damn cool. They kind of, like, hark that, like, Blink-182, like, 2000s, like, pop punk that I love so much. I honestly have no idea how I found this band. It just, like, is one of these bands that, like, my husband was like, I think you're gonna be into this, so I pre-ordered the album. Then it came to the house and I was like, what is this? Because I forget. And then I put it on and I'm like, huh, this is cool. Then I forgot about it. Because, you know, last year was, I think last year, there was just so many albums that came out. It, like, there was just so much stuff to, like, sift through and, like, listen to. Even though I only write really about 10 albums because I don't have the mental capacity to do more than 10. For my end of the year. But I did really, really, really like this band. And I really, really, really enjoy the fact that they do hark that, like, old, like, pop punk sound that I haven't heard or wanted to hear in a while. I do think that somehow they should find their way into this Blink 182 tour, but we'll see if that even happens right now. because there's an injury. but they are actually touring sometime in the spring with Koyo. I think that's their name. I just learned that because I'm, like, really old, I guess, and isn't hip with how you say things properly. But yeah, no, they're coming around, and yeah, you should go and check them out. Em, what do you think about this?
I was surprised because this wasn't what I thought it was gonna sound like.
Right? Like, doesn't the album art kind of, like, give you, like, hardcore vibes or something, trade reason?
Yeah, I was like, oh, Sam picked a hardcore song? What's it gonna be? And then it was like, this is not hardcore. Like, this is really cool. And it's funny that you mentioned, like, Blink-182, because I have that, like, because I did notes and stuff, so I have, like, yeah. The first thing I wrote down was, oh, like, there's kind of, like, a bit of that pop punk voice going on. It's very, like, Blinkish. It's, like, it's a heavier Blink.
Yeah.
Sound, and it's obviously not, like, to the Tom DeLonge
whiny.
Yeah.
Nasally.
Yeah. But it was really, really cool. I liked it. I was caught off guard, right? But then I think that works in their favor, because it's like, oh shoot, this is actually, like, really good.
Yeah, you know? It was kind of weird because, like, when you listen to the album, like, the whole album, it does have that, like, you know, that 2000s pop punk vibe to it, or rip. It might just be a complete rip. But this song specifically, Both Sides, to me, literally sounds like it could have been a damn Blink 182 song, because I was literally easy. Like, huh.
Like, easy. They're just missing, like, you know, again, you just jack it up a little bit, get that, like, nasal vibe, get the, you know, where are you, and I'm so sorry.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It was, like, actually funny because I was, like, listening to, like, a random playlist on one of the streaming services. I won't say which one. Yes. Like, that I listen to every day during work because I have a weird job. And, like, literally, it would be, like, a Blink song and then, like, No Pressure. And I'm like, huh, cool. The only weird thing is, like, you know, this is the only album that I listen to of No Pressure. I actually haven't had the time to, like, check out their other stuff. So I'm actually, like, wondering, like, how much this, like, album, like, this is their full length, like, you know, compared to their other EPs, like, if there was actually a change. Because I think I saw somewhere people complaining or expressing their feelings that they like the old stuff better.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, we'll see. I'll give you an update the next time I'm on the podcast.
No, definitely, because that'd be interesting if they started as, like, a hardcore band, or they started as, like, the complete opposite of, like, pop punk. Maybe they were, like, Appalachian death metal, and then they changed, and it's just, like, surprise, guys.
Yeah. Well, there's a band called Hundredths, which I, like, listen to now. So they were, like, a hardcore band or something like that. Like, and then all of a sudden now they're, like, well, they put out, like, one shoegaze album, and then from that shoegaze album, they've kind of gone into, like, the electro stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, with just this one band, like, they've already, like, turned, and I guess, like, when that happens to a specific band, do you just, like, continue with the name, or just, like, rebrand and, like, rename yourself?
Like, was it all the same members, or did they just change the sound?
I have no idea. I didn't even pay attention that much. It's just, like, it was such a drastic shift from, like, sound to sound. And, like, now they're literally playing things that I'm like, oh, I could dance to this, you know? Like, it's, to me, at this point, I was like, I feel like they should just change their name. Be like, you know.
Yeah.
A different band with a cool name or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we're not those people anymore. Now we're this.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, rebrand yourself. But pressure. I think they should say no pressure, because they seem pretty consistent. So we'll leave it as that.
Yes. It's a very, I was trying to come up with a no pressure pun, and it just didn't work, because I got halfway there, and then my brain, like, just... Have you seen, like, the meme, and it's, like, the rotating cats?
Yeah.
It's like, these are my last two brain cells. That's exactly what just happened. Yeah. And I was like, thanks, guys.
Well, it's also possible that you were tapped out, because, you know, we just listened to John's water cooler talk for so long today.
I think that's what it was, before we locked him in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now there's peace. No.
Yeah, there's a little bit of peace, hence why you only have me and M right now.
And just hear, like, yelling in the background.
Yeah, or the ghost cat came back.
Yes. Oh my god, I had a paranormal experience. Do you want a tangent?
Yeah.
Do I have time for a
bit? Sure.
Okay, so we've already established house is 100% haunted, right?
Yes.
And a lot of that has to do with the milk can ghost, which was introduced to the house. when I was young, and has decided to stay and manifest itself in different areas. So there was one happening that was late last week. And there was this, well, it started on the podcast, actually, because it was on Hallie's last episode, and where I, like, am, where I record and whatever, I'm in a basement, so I am right beside a doorway, like, right there.
Em is showing me her doorway right now. I know you guys can't see this, but it is a very dark doorway.
Yes, it's a very dark doorway. There's not a lot of light that seeps into it, so it is pretty much, like,
haunted.
Yeah, it's given the bad vibes. And all of us have seen things, like, more than just, like, corner of your eye, you see, like, lights playing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We've all seen stuff. So the night of Hallie's podcast, I don't remember what story we were on, but I saw something, and I swear to God, it was, like, this, like, sweeping, it was like a woman in a very flowy dress kind of like zipping by. And that happened before on a previous podcast where we were talking about the cursed song by MCR.
Okay.
It's all connected, you see.
Yeah.
So anyway, like that happened. And that night, there was like, you know, sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and it's like you feel like someone's watching you kind of thing. And like that's normal, right?
Are you sure it's not your cat or the carrots?
I'm pretty positive it's not the cat.
Are you sure it's not my dog because he has a staring problem?
It could be. It just transcends.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
My dog's on Zoom watching you.
That's what it is. Yeah, there's a computer just like set up.
Yeah.
And that's it, just like right against, like pressed against the glass. But yeah, and it was just like this feeling, and my cat's like, she wouldn't go down the hall for like a good 24 hours. She was avoiding like certain areas. She was sticking to me because she's like, you're home. You need to like protect me. And usually she's
have a black cat, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, like, that's literally, like, black cats are, like, magical. And
they are.
And your cat is afraid of a sweeping ghost?
Well, like, and this had never happened before. Like, she's like, yeah, I'm coming into this room. Everyone else better clear out because this is my space. Like, she's very competent. She's very, like, if there's a problem, like, she's going to stop it. You know?
Yeah.
She's going to solve it.
Yeah.
Enforcer cat. So, like, to see her have those reactions was really, really weird. So, again, like, I'm below ground most of the day, and sticking really close to me, awake longer, like, at the doorway, standing, looking at the stairs, like, all sorts of stuff. And, like, I was hearing things upstairs, like, more than just the house settling. And it was the weirdest thing. And the whole, like, feeling and everything there was something else that happened, but I don't remember what it was right now. But the whole feeling stopped like pretty much immediately, just kind of out of nowhere. It started like out of nowhere and it stopped out of nowhere, and it was like, it was intense. Like, it was one of the more intense like
feelings
I've ever had. It was strange.
So, if I ever visit you, I'm not staying at your house.
I think that's fair.
Yes. So, you please do not take any, like, offense to that. We're just not staying over.
No.
We'll see you at the city.
Yes. Yeah, somewhere nice. Somewhere that's not, like, in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Anyways, see, if we had a forest, we'd be like the cabin in the woods, but unfortunately we don't. We do have trees, but anyways, I digress. So, getting back on track.
Hey guys, this is what happens when like John leaves us, like we just like go running off on tangents. You might like this. This might be interesting for you. I don't know.
I hope it is. I have tons more stories.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you do too.
Yeah.
We
if
could
you
go
like
for
this,
hours.
You can email us at punknewspodcast. I don't even know what our email is. I'm sure.
It's podcast@punknews.
Yeah, maybe that. and let John know how much you hated this episode. We won't take offense to any of it, because if we decide to do this again, we're just going to do it.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to be worse.
Yes, way worse. Maybe 3 more ghost stories.
Oh, yeah. The most unhinged vibes.
Exactly.
Only.
Emma, why don't you play us something that it might not be haunted?
I can guarantee you this is not haunted. And this is More Than Fanatics by The Black Void, who are a Toronto-based punk band. So we will play the song, and I will come back and give you the rundown. Oh, I have to plug my computer in. Yes. So that was More Than Fanatics by The Black Void. And that's off their EP, Sad Songs About Sentient Sex Toys and Other Terrible Tales, say that 10 times fast, that was released in 2021. So this band rocks. They take a lot of like different things. Like they're a primarily just a punk rock band. They have some like garage influence. They have all sorts of different stuff on this EP. They have a song called Kiss Me I'm Vaccinated that's kind of like Elvis Presley-esque, and it's really fun and it's really really great. And this band live like just rips. Like they are beyond like they're so energetic. I saw them live at the Tarantula Tapes second birthday party in Barrie last year, and they were one of like the bands that absolutely blew me away, because going into the show I kind of knew about them. Like I knew a couple songs, but I didn't know a whole lot. And then their set again was great, and the people who make up the band are just awesome folks too. So, you know, that really helps. But yeah, they have other songs that are about like sentient sex dolls. They have like all sorts of like fun, wacky stuff. But like obviously like everything's like making a point, and it's great, it's fun, it's wacky, it's a Black Void. They also have a t-shirt that says anal, and then it's a checkbox and it's yes, no, or the Black Void. So I regret not buying that shirt. But yeah, Sam, did you enjoy the Black Void?
This was a little bit of a Black Void for me. Yes, I listened to this. I didn't love it. I'm not gonna say I hate it. I don't know how to feel about it. It was, like, kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, which I was kind of like, I don't know how to feel. So I don't have much to say other than I have no idea what I feel about this. There's a lot going on here and a lot of imagery with penises. So much of that. So I guess that's their point, right?
Sentient sex toys.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what everything boils down to.
Yeah, exactly. I do like the fact that, like, they just don't care. And they just want to do whatever they want to do. Which is, I think, a very M-more thing.
I think so.
This tracks. This is fine. Yeah.
It's very, they're very punk in that ethos. They also have like two vocalists, which is really cool. I forgot to mention that in my intro, which was probably pertinent to the song. But yeah, really cool.
Well, you're doing it now, so that's good.
It got in there.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm not gonna finish that. So.
Well, I kind of wonder what the other terrible tales are. Like, how many terrible? Oh my God, this makes so much sense. Terrible tales. That's all we have. We just have all of the terrible tales.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, go tell one good story, and it's like, huh?
No, we just have ghosts.
Yeah, sorry. I can give you maybe a happy ghost. We think. Maybe. Are they happy when they watch?
Well, my dog's never happy when he watches. He just stares. So it's
maybe
all good.
Maybe they're happy when they're like doing the lights, because it's like a dance party at that point. It's like we're in the club.
Maybe they just like rages. Like maybe that's where they should just hang out, like at clubs. They just it's control exciting. Lights. Exactly.
Yeah, and everyone loves it.
Yeah.
And they're well, cheering on.
I think you just found like a perfect job for a ghost then.
Oh, easily, yes. If any ghosts are listening to this, go to raves, plan raves, be the rave you want to see in the world. And that's, you'll get rave reviews that way.
There is your pun. Good job.
Thank you. I got there. It took a minute, but I got there.
Oh my.
It's a Thursday night, folks.
Yeah. So I'm just going to play my last song, and hopefully we get out of this without me being cringy.
Embrace the cringe.
Yeah. So I think most of you guys already know that the Bouncing Souls is my goddamn favorite band, like, ever. Yes. Probably next to NSYNC, so I'm sorry for you listeners and my punk points, but I don't care anymore. But the Bouncing Souls is putting out a new album. It's called 10 Stories High. So I'm going to play the title track, 10 Stories High. And we're back! So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Because, you know, apparently I had to close out my segment with more Bouncing Souls, because why not?
Exactly. You
know, stay on brand, right? So basically, they have an album that's coming out sometime this month, or next month, sometime soon. Probably this month, because I'm getting my pre-order soon. And I think it's great. It's actually pretty cool because they just released, yes, March 24th. Good job. they actually just did an interview with another publication that was pretty good read. And they kind of explained a little bit about how this album came about. And I feel like it is a damn good interview and a damn good reason why an album came out. So pretty much they started a million years ago during the pandemic, because I think a lot of people in bands could not figure out what they were gonna do as a band when they can't tour and all of that good jazz. They started a Patreon. If you guys go back and actually watch the Patreon video, them announcing it, it's pretty ridiculous and on brand for the band, and that's probably why I love them so much. I think some people actually thought that they were advertising Patron, you know, like the liquor, but that's not what happened. So some of these songs, maybe all of the songs, actually came from the Patreon, because they took some of the highest paying folks that supported the band and actually had conversations with these folks. Like, I think it was like 10 people, and actually created songs out of their stories. And these are their songs.
Oh, that's cool. That's a great idea.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, me reading this interview, I was literally like, oh my God, how does this band just evolve like this? And it's like, it's kind of weird, because I think COVID and the lockdown and the pandemic did a lot to humans and their brains. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the most creative things I've heard that came out of the pandemic. Instead of just being like a band, oh yeah, we were locked up, so we just decided to write an album, right? It's like, no, yeah. Like, they actually had a process in how this album came about. So these lucky individuals actually got these tracks done differently. Personal tracks done differently. Right. I think one of the people that had one of the tracks did get Frank Turner on his track.
Oh, wow. Like,
you know, because they were I guess he's a Frank Turner fan, or there was a spin on, like, there was a reason why Frank Turner was involved in the story somehow. So the Bouncing Souls got Frank Turner to be on the song, which did not end up, that version did not end up on this album. But still, I was like, it was, this seems something really special that happened. And I really loved this band for really caring about the people that listen to them, the people like us, me specifically, you know. And like, because they just like, you know, finished this entire like crucial moments type of thing where they thanked the fans, and then now we get this album. I really think it's damn special. Some of the songs are already out. I actually cannot wait to hear the rest of it. I think it's like the songs that already came out, I feel like they sound like Bouncing Souls songs. I think they sound like older Bouncing Souls songs. like there's moments of that in there. But I really, really think this is like such a creative way of, I guess, working out such a bad situation for all of us. Yeah.
Yeah. Like bringing everyone into it.
Exactly. Exactly. Like I really love the fact that there was, I guess, fan participation involved.
Yeah, no, that's so cool. I didn't know the story behind it. I just like listened to the song and stuff, and like I've heard a couple Bouncing Soul songs. Like I haven't sat down and went through like an album or anything, but I had two on like an old phone. Mm-hmm. And both of them were really good. I don't remember what the second one was, but the first one was Highway Kings.
I love that song. So much.
It was so cool. And every time I listen to that, I'm like, oh, I need to check out more from the band. And then I just like don't. And I don't know why, but there are so many bands that fall into that category though, where it's like, oh, I really liked this song or I really want to check out this album. And then it's just, well, why don't I? And it's like, I really don't have an answer for that. Like, I've been wanting to listen to the new, Alexis on Fire in full. And I haven't, like, I've listened to parts of it. And yeah. Then it was just like, I need to sit down and listen to the whole thing because I like this band. And then it was just like, nope. You're just going to listen to, like, singles. Well, it's like, no, I want to listen to the whole thing.
Well, I think a part of it, and this is just, you know, me talking about us being in punk news. I think a part of it is we do get a lot of things sent to us and or thrown at us. And, you know, it's hard for us to process so much information at one time, especially when, you know, we're all like kind of just contributors, like we're volunteers here, even though, you know, some of us have been here for eons. like, you know, so it's kind of like in this. To me, like, punk news to me is a hobby for me. It's not a full-time job, even though sometimes it feels like that. but, yeah, no, like, I do think that we do get an influx of a lot of things to keep an eye on. And I don't fault you at all because I think I'm in the same boat of being like, oh, I need to listen to this. And especially like, you know, if you're like talking to friends and they're like, oh, this album's so good. And, you know, all this stuff, like, I actually like hate the fact that like sometimes my friends are into something and I just never had the time to like listen to something. And then I get into it like so hard. Like, and then I'm just like, oh my God, I missed a boat on like their heyday, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, ah, crap.
But I did check out this song, and I did like this song. I thought it was very good. Like, it's melodic. It seemed very uplifting. The video was cool, because it's, like, it's all animated, but it's, like, that 2D, but also kind of 3D, sort of. It's, like parts of Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, that style, which is really cool. So, yeah, I didn't mind the song at all. Thought it was kind of neat. The story that you just told about the album makes me see it in a different light, and I'm sure like going back and listening to the song, it's gonna have a different feel and more weight to it because it's like, you know more about it.
Well,
which is fascinating. Like, that's a super cool idea.
Well, I, you know what, like the crazy thing about this band and I guess my proximity to New Jersey, right, is like, you know, I have access to just being able to see this band for like eons, what feels like eons. And like a lot of my friends, like I've made so many friends just because of loving this band.
Yeah.
So it does like to me feel like family. Like, even though, yeah, no, this band is totally not my family. Like, I'm not blood related to anyone. Right. But, like, you know, it's, going to see the Bouncing Souls is like a guarantee I'm going to see these sets of people, and you know, I love them dearly, and you know, we all have each other's backs. Like, it's weird. It's crazy for me. Plus I think it also does help that like they really foster the idea of family anyways, because they did Home for the Holidays, which is their annual holiday show that they had for like 10, like almost 10 years, I think. Like, I think it was 9 years or something. I don't even remember. This is how old I am. like, you know, every, like after Christmas. So right. It was kind of like a package for me. Like, I do Christmas with my own family and my husband's family, and then I run off to Jersey and in the freaking cold, and maybe there's a snowstorm, and I pile myself into a tight venue just to, like, you know, rock out with, like, you know, some of my, like, favorite people, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So
there's something so powerful about that, like, having such a community built around, like, one band. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's like, that's my feelings on the Bouncing Souls. I also have feelings about, like, that with, like, the Menzingers and stuff. It's
sure
kind of, you know, I think that's just, like, just that circle of bands and or friends that, like, makes this so special, you know. And the fact that this band really, really loves their fans fosters, like, the love of them. They're really, like, you know, grateful for all that we do for them, or don't do. I don't know what we do for them, but yeah, that.
The support,
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice, though. Like, more bands should, well, it's nice to see bands that do that.
Yeah, especially since, like, this Bouncing Souls have been a band for, like, many, many years. Like, I think, was it 30 or 35 years or something like that? I remember. Oh, yeah, and they've been together forever.
That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. It's insane that it's been this long. And some of my friends have been with them since the start, so.
Right.
Yeah, I was a little too young to be in them from the start, but that's fine. That's what happens. You know.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Time machine. Yeah,
exactly. We'll just get a time machine, put it in the hovercraft room, and tell John not to touch it. Em, why don't you play your last track?
All right, folks, you're ready for something really fucking weird? Here's Biometrics by Mirrored Fatality. Okay. And that was Biometrics by Mirrored Fatality. So you might be asking yourself, what did I just hear? And
I asked myself that, actually.
And what you just heard was a very cool sonic experience by this experimental, or the way that the band describes it as experimental and healing noise, which I think is really cool. The Mirror Fatality is a duo, and they're also both farmers, which is really cool. This is off their EP, Ecocide Earth, but Earth is spelled like 3URTH. So it's all about, like, environmentalism and, like, social issues and whatever. So this song, with all of their songs, they have a pretty good paragraph explaining what it's about and everything. So this one's like, the song highlights the survival and resistance of QT, BIPOC artists, freedom fighters, organizers, cultural workers, and teachers who combine the digital, spiritual, emotional, and physical to build new worlds untouched by the surveillance state. So it's all about how everything, all the companies own all your stuff. Like, you talk about something in front of your phone and you get ads for it. There's facial recognition everywhere, which is really bad. You know, like, all that kind of stuff. But it's like, it starts out and it's really quiet, and there's, like, kind of whispers and stuff, and it's a very foreboding, like, ominous kind of beginning. And then it just kind of builds and explodes into just this chaos. There's so much happening, there's so much going on, and it's really cool. I love when you have to listen, or when you listen to a band and you have to read the lyrics too. Like,
yeah,
I like that, having to do that, because it's like, oh cool, I'm getting the full experience. But yeah, I found out How did I find? I found out about them on social media. So this EP was released in 2022. I found out about them in social media in like 2021. And they contacted me about running something for Punk News about, I think it was, the song was about Roadkill. I think it was called Roadkill. But like it was a really cool song, so it's like, oh yeah, I need to revisit a bunch of stuff from them. So just with the kind of, it's nice to listen to something that really makes you go you know, and you really got to dissect stuff. Like I like that stuff, because it's like, okay, you know, you're comfortable. Now put yourself in a position where you're going to be uncomfortable and figure out why and yep. what's going on. So again, I love art that challenges things and does all that, and it's great. There's also a video for it, which is very, very cool. It comes with an epilepsy warning though, for like flashing lights, so maybe listen to the song. But yeah, I take it you were not a fan.
No, M. No. This is the least of my cares. But it was actually like when I was listening to the song, I was literally having like moments of, I was like, this is an art experiment. I was like, I feel like this is literally an entire art performance. I'm just hearing the music. I should be looking at some visuals, and like, I'm not even sure, like, I feel like this should have been like an installation of art pieces on a wall, plus a dance, plus a light show, like just listening to the track, because I didn't get, I didn't get to the video, but I was like, just listening to the track and then reading the lyrics. I was like, this seems familiar to something I have witnessed in real life in Chelsea, in Manhattan. So Chelsea, Manhattan, that's where, like, that's the art gallery district.
Yeah.
Just to give you guys context, if you had no idea what Chelsea was in New York City. Yeah, I feel like this is like some spontaneous happening in the middle of a street with this type of music and something happening. It's fine. It's cool. If that actually did happen, and I do encourage these two people to do a spontaneous happening, because I would love to see that.
Yeah, that'd be so cool.
Yeah. But I'm not a fan of this, if this was just music, but that's just one human, a.k.a. Sam, that has a very narrow view of punk, I guess.
And, like, from what I've seen online and everything, like, I haven't been able to see them live or anything yet, but that seems like what their live shows are kind of like art pieces. Are they're doing a bunch of different things or bringing things on stage? They have like I think it's like videos and stuff playing, and it looks absolutely just like wild, you know, like everything that's happening, it's everything all at once, kind of all the time.
Well, like, even just looking, really cool. Yeah, like just looking at like the album art, I was like, it is completely like, like that background image, not the fonts or any of that. I was like, literally looks like a painting of some sort, like or a picture of some kind of performance of them, like with a whole bunch of paint on them or something. It could be perceived as that. So it's just definitely makes sense. All of this makes sense. Actually, liking this actually makes sense. because it is very like an M more experimental thing. I think we did pick a lot of things that it made sense for us.
yeah we're both very on brand.
Yes, we're very on brand tonight.
Yes,
yeah, so it's yeah, I'm not a fan, I'm sorry, M.
That's okay, that's fine.
Yes, I have to tell the truth.
Yeah. Honesty is the best policy all the time.
Especially on the Punk News podcast.
That's what we're known for. If folks can't trust us, Who can they trust? I don't think I've ever really lied on the Pump News podcast. Oh, I did once. In one of the earlier episodes, I said I really liked a band, but I never heard of them because I was very nervous. I don't remember what the band was. I just know I did that once. But yeah, everything else is...
Well, I guess it could be really, like, you know, doing a podcast and having listeners listen to you ramble would be scary, right? Like, you know...
Yeah.
For your first time.
Yeah.
I think the first time I was on the Punk News podcast, I don't think I knew what I was even saying, because I think it was one of the... John used to do these, like, ridiculous dating show things. And I was on the dating show as a contestant, but he... literally said that I had a husband, and why was I on a dating show?
And I was what, like, an intro.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, yeah. I was like, okay, cool. Well, I had to explain myself then. But yeah, no, I do think I remember being, like, terrified of what I was saying or whatever. But I did, mm-hmm. I do remember talking about the Bouncing Souls on that episode as well.
Yeah.
Very on brand, not shocked.
I would be surprised if you didn't, to be honest.
Yeah, when John needs us to talk about dancing, I'm not going to talk about the Bouncing Souls.
Oh my God, if they did a cover... And then every time you just bring it up, like, well, did you know that the Bouncing Souls covered Black Acid Devil by Danzig?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. The Bouncing Souls did cover The Cure, and I freaking love that. And I'm actually happy that they actually captured that on record, because I was actually there when they captured it live, and then I actually have the record that I was there for.
Nice.
So that was, like, a very special thing that I have in my vinyl collection.
Yeah.
One of the special things.
What's the cover? What song?
It was The Cure. I think it was it Just Like Heaven? It might have been. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Ma Crimes did a cover, Just Like Heaven, not too long ago, and it's really good.
Yeah, I love it so much. Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Was it that, or was it Misfits? I think I'm losing my mind, you guys. It's really bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's so bad. It's so, so bad.
You need the, What are the thing, like, everything that gets, like, advertised on TV that's, like,